The passage selected for the sermon this morning is taken from the second reading, which was also the gospel for this Sunday. A certain man had two sons, and the youngest said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me." And he divided unto them his living. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, when you're a young preacher, the habit and the temptation is to theologize everything, to find the odd interpretations, the deep thoughts. And especially that is a temptation when you deal with the kind of parable that is so familiar to everybody as the parable of the prodigal son is. But now that I'm older and I've gone through a couple of generations of family, it has dawned on me that this is one we don't have to worry about going so deep upon. It doesn't matter what the husks mean or what the ring meant. This is really what it says at its face value. This is about God's love for us, his understanding of us as families, and his instruction for us as to how to live as families. Now, the fact that he teaches us about families is really important because the very nature of his relationship to us is family. He has adopted us. He has made us his children. He's made us his family. And of course, his great commandment is that we love him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, but that we love our neighbors as ourselves. And he knows we struggle with that last part. And so in creating us in his image, he created us to be in family. And we all have families because God gave them to us so that we would learn how to love them, and more importantly, to learn how it is that he loves us. Every one of these characters in this parable has a lot to teach us. And of course, we start with the father. The father is confronted by the son who wants to have his portion of the inheritance given to him so that he can go and do what he wants with it. The quiet part of the phrasing of that particular verse is that when the prodigal son asked, he gave to both sons. He gave them. Now, the older son forgets that, doesn't he, as he gets through this? And we all forget it too. But the reality is that God doesn't give his gifts selectively. He gives us select gifts, gifts that are particular to the character that he intends for us, but he gives to us unrestrictedly. He gives us those gifts that we don't even know we need and that we aren't ready to receive. And so when he gives, he doesn't just give to the prodigal son. He gives of his living. And of course, even after he's done that, there's abundance left over because that's the nature of God and the nature of God's love. And then what does he tell us about the way that he gives? A really important thing. Because God's way, as we know, is very different than our way. When we give something, we say, "I will give you this if you obey me. I'll give you the car keys if you mow the lawn." Right? "I'll give you my love if you give me your love." Everything that we do is conditional. And when we talk about the unconditional love of God, we usually get that idea wrong. It's not that God loves us no matter how dumb we are, although he does. It's that when he gives his love, he does it without condition. Maybe the best way for us to understand that is to think about the first time that we gave our teenagers the car keys, right? Is there anything more terrifying in this world? No. Because what do we know? That no matter what they tell us, they are not going to be using good judgment. They do not have enough experience, and that we are going to sit there in our chairs quivering in trepidation until the car comes back into the driveway and they come back in the door and we know that they're safe. And that's actually a very courageous thing that we do, to be able to give those car keys knowing that things could go wrong, but knowing also that unless we give those children those car keys, they can't grow up. so God gives to us, knowing that we will abuse the love that he gives us, knowing that we will not use talents to the best of our ability, knowing that we're going to put ourselves in difficulty, and yet trusting in his love, that we will get our head back, and that we will return to him, and that we'll return undamaged and in good shape, even though sometimes we do return damaged, and he has to restore us. That's a very important element of the love of God that this parable teaches us. Now, we move on to the prodigal son. And we have things to learn from the prodigal son, too. Not how to waste our lives in a riotous living. We have probably got all we need in terms of talents to do that on our own, right? But what we learn from the prodigal son is courage and humility. It is one of the greatest tools that the devil has, the pride that infects families, that fear we have that no matter what we do, it will not be good enough, that we will not be forgiven for the things that we have committed. And because of that, how many families stay fractured through their time on this earth because nobody can say, I'm sorry first, and nobody can say, you know, I'll take the chance. You know, maybe you won't forgive me, but I'm sorry anyways. Courage is what that takes. And we learn from that young man, as imperfect as he was, the courage that it takes to come back and to say that I'm sorry and to begin that process. Now, that act of contrition was imperfect. That's a nice way of saying it. It was self-serving is what it really was, right? He was hungry. He was eating corn husks. He was anxious to go back and to be even as a servant in his father's house. He was not being considerate of all the angst and the worry that he put his father through, the hurt that he had when he rejected him and his way of life. He wasn't thinking about how he inconvenienced his brother. He was just trying to get three squares and to cover himself. And yet, that was enough. The father seeing him yet a far way off, right? What does that mean? It just doesn't mean that he was down the hill a good long ways. It means that his idea of being sorry had a long way to go. But even the little bit that he had was enough for the father to race down the hill, to embrace his child, to restore him to his place, put on the robe, give him the ring, bring him to the table again, and put him back where he was created to be. That's the lesson that we need to learn. We as human beings, what do we think when in our families it's somebody's turn to be sorry? When they get down on their knees and they beg for us, we think that's the lesson. Finally, come to your senses, you're on your knees. That'll teach you. No, that doesn't teach us anything. What did the young man learn, the prodigal son? He learned that imperfect as his contrition was, self-serving as it was, that he was still loved. That instead of just being acknowledged and instead of having someone rub his nose in it, he was embraced. He was loved. He was restored. That's what God wants to teach us about the nature of forgiveness. Not that we finally get to say, I told you so, but that we get to say, I love you still. That's the nature of the learning that we get from the interaction between the father and the prodigal son, which leads us now to the good son. He wasn't a very good son, really, was he? I mean, think about him. What does he exhibit? He exhibits jealousy, anger, disrespect, a total lack of gratitude. You never gave me a kid to go have a party with. I gave you everything when I gave the brother his inheritance too. And yet you don't appreciate or remember that. And he is judgmental and unforgiving. You know, the father goes to him too. He leaves the banquet. Just as he went down the hill and went a long way to deal with the prodigal son, he goes out to embrace the good son, to remind him that good things are still waiting for him, that this reconciliation, this restoration of family is a blessing to him too, and that he should be joyful and celebrating this along with his brother, because he is made whole in this just as much as the brother is. And what a beautiful thought to think that even when we are angry, disrespectful, ungrateful, jealous, that our Father will come out and meet us, just as he goes out to meet those lost sheep that are wandering at the edge of danger. He comes out to meet us who are in spiritual danger because of a lack of charity and a lack of kindness and a lack of forgiveness. What a beautiful gift this family is. I know it's not an easy gift. It's a very hard gift. I mean, you have those indescribable moments of joy when, you know, babies are born, children are married, children have achievements, and you are lifted up transcendent. But we also have those moments when we're disappointed and when we're worried and when we feel that people are lost or we feel that it will be difficult to forgive them. We learn through our love of each other. We learn through our families how wonderful God's love is for us. And what a beautiful gift it is that he gives us. And as hard as they are to love, we should give thanks for them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.